Blog Talk Radio.
You know what it's all about, like, wow!
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It is about the boom and the rock and roll and the elimination and also some stuff I can't even speak on that we talked about last night on the way back. This is the Master Man, Bob Rogers, and we are here with the FTW Future Focus. Of course, in our lineup, we got Tony Motown Allen. What's up, Tony?
Not too much, Bobby. How you feeling today? What's up, fellas?
I'm still recovering from last night. Still recovering from last night.
Oh, yeah.
Boy. Also with me, FTW Vice President, the man with the golden voice. He is the one, the only, your humble, not so humble correspondent. And I always get twisted when I say that. Robert Black. Robert Black, what's going on, brother?
I am all right, aside from being a little twisted myself, but we'll get to that story later. Yeah, I'm doing all right. And last night was an incredible event. It was a lot of fun to be at, but I'm doing okay. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yes, sir. And also, last but not least, he is the man, the motion. He is the one that puts the WWE's motion in the ocean, except for Naomi because she's mine. He is the marvelous Marcus Bagley.
Yeah, we'll talk about that another
time,
day. But this weekend.
Has been nothing but awesome. I'm going to tell you that right now. Myself and Rob are living on a high that we can't, and I'm not talking about a high like that. I mean, like a natural high, which actually come to think about. Okay. Anyway. last night we had the opportunity, the pleasure and the honor to be at DCCW in Muncie, Indiana, Delaware County Championship Wrestling, and we were there with the Rock and Roll Express. I can't tell you how much stuff we learned and how much stuff and how they are like real cool people. If you've never been to a show with the Rock and Roll Express that you see live, and it's not the NWA because you really can't talk to them then, I mean, definitely go to an independent show and check them out. I know there's this Muncie war going on between, I don't even mention the other federation, and DCCW. I'm just going to say this straight out right now. If you wasn't at DCCW last night, you missed out on a hell of a show. Those guys clown from bell to the last bell. It was nothing but action. It was a lot of action, a lot of spirited sportsmanship. I can't say enough about it. I want to thank DCCW for having us there. We will definitely be back there. Rob, your thoughts on last night. I'm going to let you start off and I'll chime in.
It was a terrific experience. And There is a difference between going to a live wrestling show that's highly produced and just an independent professional wrestling show. And
yeah.
When you go to the independents and on the circuit, it is more personable. It's more there's a heart there that's hard to describe. And last night was just an electric experience, and it was the first time in a long time that I've just been a fan at one of these shows, and it just feels awesome when you're there in the zone and just checking out what's there and interacting as a fan with everything that's going on. The way our night started, we went to a seminar that the Rock and Roll Express were holding before the event, and they were mostly talking to wrestlers, but they were also talking to a ring announcer, commentator, referee, just anybody that was involved in the industry. And it was mostly run by Ricky Morton on the talking end, and Robert Gibson was doing more like physical stuff during the which they were both like showing talking and working, but it was like watching a chess master unfold their moveset while you're watching them.
Let me say this, not to give too much away, because some of this is like industry secrets, so we can't really, portray some
of
the stuff he said.
Oh, of course. I wasn't going to say anything that he said, but I was just
right.
Describing how he said it. Ricky Morton.
I got you.
Yeah, Ricky Morton has been in the industry for almost as long as I've been alive, and the man's mind works in a way to where if he were a carpenter, he could have built a whole table right in front of us, and it would have been a masterpiece of art and practical, so that was how the seminar felt. And then later on during the night, Morton and Gibson were selling autographs and stuff, and they interacted with everybody in the building. They weren't snobbish at any time. Even though they've been all around the world and they've made a ton of money and they're very famous guys, but they were really humble during the whole experience. And the rest of the card was everybody was at the top of their game. There was a triple threat match that featured a guy that I've seen plenty, Cecil Cerveza, and he was amazing in that match. You hardly ever see him work heel, and he was great. And as we said, Bobby got to be a heel manager for someone last night, which he did a fantastic job as. And aside from the Rock and Roll facing a team that were the tag team champions of that organization and had a great match doing it, there was a hardcore match with Joey the Kid Owens and Mike King that was like absolutely insane, and just everything about last night was everything that independent wrestling is at heart, and it was great.
I want to say this, because I know you guys have usually went to the WWE shows or Ring of Honor or something like that.
Yeah.
And I wish you, and Marcus, I wish you was out here, because I'd have you come along. But Tony is going to experience this coming up soon. It is just something about those independent shows when you get the right people in that groove that makes it like you can almost get the environment like the All-In we went to when we went to the first All-In.
Mm-hmm.
You can almost get that. You can almost get that. Almost. I'm not saying you can get it completely. You can almost get that camaraderie with the fans into it. You know, I mean, it's one of those things that you have to experience it to understand. And I wish a lot more people, and yes, I will admit, you do have to watch which shows you go to. Some of them are garbage. Some of them are big-time trash. I mean, honestly, you know,
well,
I'm just going to say this right now. I'm going to say this right now. Money, power, and gold ain't always the right way. So you can take that for what it's worth. But the actual, some of these fans, like DCCW, that gentleman that runs that place and everybody that's involved in it was from where I learned my stuff, Rob Kincaid. I mean, to me,
yeah,
one of the greatest promoters there was in this area. It's just that feeling that you get when everybody's there and everybody's on the top of it, on the top. You just can't match it anywhere. And I want to thank DCCW for having us out there. I'm going to get tongue-tied because I can't. But it was
awesome.
I
would definitely love to go again. But independent professional wrestling can be kind of like a trip to the comedy club. Sometimes you're going to get a great comedian that has a really great set, and sometimes you're going to get a rookie at open mic night. And both of those things can be funny. It just it just depends on the way it goes. And sometimes you'll get a show that's not quite right. But last night was not one of those. Last night was a fantastic show.
It's something I want to add to that, and it's a layer that I don't think a lot of people consider when it comes to when they want to buy a ticket to an independent wrestling show. My thing is know where you spend your money. Because half of these guys, I mean, I'm not going to say everybody in the independent scene, but there are a lot of guys that are just no good. They don't mean well by the business. They don't mean well by the boys. You know, they don't really take care and respect the business like they should. Some of them are veterans. Some of them have names. Some of them are newbies. My thing is we have to know where we spend our money. Find out, seek out which of these companies actually care about the boys, do the boys right, do the girls right, that actually do something with the community, that actually gives back. That's one thing about DCCW, they give back, you know. They actually help out there in Muncie, Indiana, with a couple of things, and I can't do nothing but take my hat off to them. That's why I'm proud to go up there and help out, you know, and do whatever I can to add to it. Because what do you know?
Hey, I got a question for you, buddy.
What's up?
Okay, because I mean that's great advice as far as like supporting the indies and seeking out. So what advice would you give people who's interested in researching it? Like I'm fortunate because I'm in Indianapolis now, though. So it's like if you say it's a good show, no, you my source for that. But let's say like I know Marcus don't mind independence. I mean he used to like go to some of the independence. I know we have a couple other people in the group like William Foulkes and Gary, and I'm sure there's more in Chicago that would like to search for it. But like, what advice would you give some of these people who want to, like, go out but don't really want to spend any money on a bad show?
Oh. See, with the independents, it's kind of hard because some of them don't put their stuff on YouTube, you know. But if you look at YouTube, you can see the quality of talent that they have. So if you know any around in the area and you know the names of them, I would say first look them, see if you can look them up on YouTube. If you could do
okay.
that. and you see the quality of talent, I mean, that's cool. And don't go by the quality of talent of the big names. Anybody can hire a big name.
Right.
A big name can mostly make any guy look good. Look at the guys that are specifically in that federation, in that territory. If they have those type of quality guys, you know the show is going to be good for the most part. But if you have talent where all the rest of the matches are garbage and then the main event is the only thing worth watching, you might as well stay home and watch WWE Raw because that's exactly what they do there. You know? I'm just, am I lying?
No, I mean, that's a great point. I would imagine you want to use a big name to draw in eyes to see the undercard.
Mm-hmm. That's who you pay attention to is the undercard. Because if your undercard is good, that's being used to take care about the show, that the show is good. But when it comes to certain things on how they treat the boys and stuff like that, you just got to pay attention. And you got to hear things and you got to verify things. And if you hear it, you can verify it, then 90% of the time it's right, and 90% of the time you should avoid it just for the principle they don't treat the people right. But again, that's one of those gray areas to where you can find out, and then you might not find out. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's one of the things that everybody can say about me when I run a show. I don't cheat anybody. I pay everybody. I tell everybody what's up front. You know, if they like to work with somebody, if it fits in the story that I want to tell, I try to make that happen, you know. But you have other ones that I see that, oh, God, they want to not pay you. They don't want to pay the guys at work. They don't want to do this. They don't want to do that. They think they slick. They think they can out-talk you and get you to agree, you know. No. No, and that's just wrong. We got a couple of promoters here in Indiana that's like that. And it's only a couple, I mean, from what I know. I mean, there's probably more, but there's only a couple from what I know. And, yeah, it's it really sucks because I wish they had a gauge meter or like a neon sign that says, don't go here. You know what I'm saying? For some of these fans. Because I don't like people to evaluate what independent wrestling is off of what they do. You know, some people will go to a show like that, look at that, and be like, I'm not going to another show like that. That was terrible. You know, and it turns them off. I mean, and that's one of the reasons why we have a low participation when it comes to wrestling as it is now. Because there's so many garbage shows that go around. You know? But there are some true independents that care, and we were definitely at one last night. We were definitely at one last night. You can't say any more except for me looking like I'm trying to kiss they behind. I'm not. I mean, you know, but it's true. It's the truth. The truth is there. What is there? And the truth is there.
I mean, when it comes to finding independent wrestling companies, all it takes is a quick Google search of your local city, and you'll find, plenty of them. And Facebook is also a good source because a lot of independent shows these days advertise their upcoming cards on their Facebook pages, and they have a virtual poster up, and you can see who's coming where and what the name of the organization is. And there's a lot of names out there. You just have to look and see what seems the most interesting to you, and if they have a special star coming in as a hook, just kind of look into the rest of the show. If it seems interesting to you, then I encourage you to go see it. Up in Chicago, they have places like Freelance Pro Wrestling and Rise. And a few others that I remember from when I was living up there, and her who are, I think, still operating.
Up there, isn't it?
What's that?
Yeah, AAW. Yeah, they usually have Bourbon Street. AAW.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they got PRW. I think that's Gary, actually.
Mm-hmm.
That's where DJ Russell's. Her and Jonathan, they're learning, but they're good. I think PRW is another one that's up there that could be looked at.
But always be ready to give the indies a chance, because all of the up and comers that you're going to be seeing 10, 15, 20 years or so are starting out here right now, and they're going to make their way up, and you're going to see the next superstar from the ground up. Ruby Soho is a good example. She started out right here in Lafayette, Indiana, and now she's on national television and killing it on AEW. So the independent circuit is where you find them. So check it out.
I don't know how many years me and Bobby were friends, but I know when we first started talking, like years ago, you were telling me about Ruby. Mm-hmm. So, she's a good example, because it was really cool to kind of see her come full circle.
Well, there's another one that actually wrestled at WCW a lot, her Shotzi Blackheart. Shotzi was, oh, God, she was killing it up here. That girl's nuts. she is. She straight up nuts. She got some skills, man. And she's made it all the way to the WWE and doing well there. I'm just like, what the hell? You made the WWE for real? Another guy that should have got picked for WWE, and because of their backwards thinking, they skipped on him, Calvin Tankman. He had that WWE tryout. They turned him down. But Calvin Tankman is a guy, he's been on GCW. He's been on a couple of other places where this guy he's almost like Keith Lee. He's another version of Keith Lee. Real big dude. You know, he's a little shorter than Keith Lee, but can fly. You know, CM Punk came to Indianapolis and had a show here at the, when they was doing shows at the, what they call it, the Salvation Army on Shelby Street.
CM Punk used to do
way
back in the day.
Actually, to tell you the truth, the match that happened there, which is legendary, was Bryan Danielson versus CM Punk.
Mm-hmm.
Saw that before they met up here. You know what I'm saying? And up in AEW and stuff. You know, I mean, you see guys and their growth. And you might not sit up there and recognize them until you really look at them, because, of course, WWE likes to change their names. Especially they go to WWE, they like to change their name and do all that good, goofy stuff. But,
well, that's for marketing purposes, but yeah you're right.
Yeah, like
oh, God. Punk and Danielson, in particular, are two of the guys that came up from the bottom just like that and are now at the top of their game, the very top of it. And when Flair talks about how you bleed, sweat, and pay the price, those two guys have done it. And the independent wrestlers right now are doing it.
And I mean, honestly, if you think about a lot of the actual good wrestlers, they come from the independent scene somewhere. You know, they don't just get busted out and, oh, you're a WWE product, blah, blah, blah. You got a couple of those, but guess what? Even John Cena, he was a prototype in OVW.
Yeah.
Batista was Leviathan in OVW.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar was a goofball.
For the most part, it all starts on the independent circuit. It all starts down here in the trenches and works its way up.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is good to see them when they're first starting out, and they grow to be a CM Punk, or they grow to be a Daniel Bryan. You know, are they grow to be a, you know, Ruby Soho or Shotzi Blackheart? You know, it's awesome to see that growth and to be with them when they very first started, not get on the train when they're already up there. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. It's one of the most gratifying experiences you can have. It's better than football. You know, it's like watching that kid play in the Pop Warner. He's doing his thing, embarrassing people. You're like, oh yeah, he's playing against the, you know, the juniors. Of course, he's gonna clown. He goes to high school and he clowns like, hold on, this dude's good. He goes to college and clowns like, hold on, really? And then he's a superstar in the NFL. You know, it's like that. Memories you can't take away. Memories you can't take away. Oh, man. Man. But I ain't gonna lie. Last night got me pumped up. Last night. Now, this is a shame. And this is the way I look at wrestling. It is a shame that I can go to Muncie, Indiana, or I can go to Indianapolis or go to a place here in Indianapolis and get that feeling that I had when I was a kid watching. But I look at the big shows, the WWEs, the AEWs, and I don't get that feeling. You know? And it's not because I've been in the ring. It's just the atmosphere.
Sometimes they get it right. It just depends on whether the heart's in it or whether it's being done for advertisement purposes or because the company wants something in particular, or that's where it goes off the rails. That when the top companies do it right, it's fantastic. But when they don't, it goes down in flames because everybody can see it, you know.
I get what you're saying, but let's look at the ratio here. You know, I'm a numbers guy. Okay, let's look at the ratio. How many times do they actually do it right? You know what I'm saying?
They normally have to go,
how many times
they
actually
have to go
do it right?
To get it right, to be honest with you. The fans in Chicago are really good, and AEW went all out literally at the last pay per view in Chicago.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I will give AEW their props because they do. Tony Khan.
Right now, AEW is getting they're almost out of their honeymoon phase, but there's still a little bit of goodwill left over, and right now they're for the most part doing things well. It's just when you compare the mistakes that they're making, which is understandable, to the mistakes that WWE is making, which are really not understandable because they're an institution.
No.
The comparison there is you can forgive Tony Khan for making a bad judgment here and there, but Vince McMahon has an entire writing staff behind him, and we're getting what we're getting. That's the part that's most disappointing.
And we talk about those mistakes. I can't wait to get to the Elimination Chamber because some of that stuff, man.
I mean, but see, this is what I don't understand, and this is what I still don't I will never understand when it comes to WWE right now. If you remember back in the day, Vince McMahon and a couple of people, Jim Cornette or Red, I call him Red Face because I keep forgetting his name.
Bruce Pritchard.
Thank you. Bruce Pritchard. Brother Love, I love you. And a couple of guys would sit down at a table, plan everything out. They might argue whatever at that table. But you know what? When they got through, it was a solid show. For the most part. Some things were screwed up, but for the most part, it was a solid show. Why on God's green earth do you have these professional writers that are sitting at a table, never been in the wrestling business, and they're writing wrestling shows? That's like me writing about brain surgery. How am I going to write a book about brain surgery? And I've never been a brain surgeon. You know, and that's something that I don't understand. I don't get.
Because Vince doesn't do wrestling. Vince does sports entertainment. So
yeah.
He writes, is his writer, wife for entertainment, not wrestling.
Well, Marcus, I think you hit it exactly right. There's a difference between the two. It's like the analogy that I made a while back with Miracle Whip and mayonnaise.
That conversation.
They look the same, they're packaged the same, and the same people use them for the same purpose, but Miracle Whip is missing essential ingredients, according to the USDA, that would make it mayonnaise, and it cannot be classified as such. And the Miracle Whip is to mayonnaise what sports entertainment is to pro wrestling. It's missing essential ingredients that would make one the other. And in the case of sports entertainment, it's spontaneity or spontaneousness and grit. Those are the two ingredients
I got to disagree with you, Rob. It's one thing that's missing, and people are not saying it, and I don't care about saying it. It's one single thing that's missing, a brain.
That's,
and I'm not
one
joking about that.
I'm
being dead serious.
Yeah.
You had a brain when it was going well. It was a well thought out process. It was done correctly to think about how the fans would react, how the fans would, you know, would correlate with the product that's out there. Now, it's like we're WWE. Take what we give you. That's what it is, a brain. They have no brains anymore. It's all reactionary, and it's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. And I'm sorry, it's insulting. It makes me mad. I'm glad that we had the rock and roll thing to do instead of me sitting at the elimination chamber, for what I've heard from these guys. And for what I read, a little bit that I could read, I'm so glad that I got to watch some wrestling with the Rock and Roll Express. I got to hear wrestlers that cared about the wrestling product. Because guess what he said? And I'm gonna say a little bit of what he said that I think stands true in this whole thing that we're talking about. He said, when you're out there, you be you.
Yeah.
The WWE is not being themselves.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's the difference between AEW and WWE, to be honest with you.
Yep. AEW is being themselves. WWE ain't. WWE is trying to put this cosmetic thing on to look like they, oh, we're some big thing correspondent that, you know, you must watch us, and you must, and you're going to like what we give you, instead of saying, okay, let's see if this works, if it does work, and if you do like it. If you don't, we listen to you and we adjust. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Speaking of Elimination Chamber, let's move on to that one. Tony?
Cool.
I didn't get to watch it. Rob didn't get to watch it because we was in the presence of greatness of the Rock and Roll Express.
Yeah, we were a little busy, so we missed Elimination Chamber. At least I did. I haven't seen nor heard any of this.
It sounds like that the Elimination Chamber was the essence of garbage. So go ahead and let us know what
they were like.
Headed,
it sucks that it was garbage, because after the last one, the last Saudi show, was like they finally were putting more effort into the Saudi shows, which they should because of the money they make on those shows. But
mm-hmm.
honestly, I mean, And for me, it's just more than, like, just being garbage. It was insulting to, like, her intelligence. I mean, even before the show starts, I mean, watching SmackDown, and they're sitting there talking about what I'm going to do to you tomorrow afternoon, so you expect me to believe that they're actually on SmackDown Live, going to wrestle, jump on a plane, fly to Saudi in less than 12 hours. That, to me, was this kind of insulting right there. But as far as the show goes, I didn't see the first match. I didn't see Mysterio and Miz. I know Rey Mysterio beat the Miz. I didn't see the pre-show. And I'm not disappointed that I missed it. How about you, Marcus?
I know what? I didn't even realize there was a pre-show match. So there you go.
I didn't either. Honestly, I didn't know there was one either until Tina told me that the Rey Mysterio beat the Miz. I'm like, when did they wrestle?
Yeah, I didn't even hear nothing about that.
Oh, that's
match,
funny.
No, seriously, yeah. The opening match was Roman Reigns versus Goldberg for the title. And for me,
what?
This match scared. That was the opening match.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was shocked.
No, that makes sense.
They opened with Goldberg and Reigns?
No, did the entrance last longer than the match itself?
Yes. You know what?
I put
a post
yes.
in the group at the over-under being 5 minutes on the match.
Wow.
And it was actually about 6 minutes. It was about the match itself. About
the match
six,
was like
minutes,
six
minutes, I think.
Yeah, it was
about
six
minutes, yeah.
So when you did the intro, both intro combined with the, the intro was definitely longer. This match scared me. It really scared me going into it, especially when it was the first match, because as much as WWE and Saudi loves Goldberg, I was scared to death that Goldberg was going to win this. I really was. And there
was hoping
he did.
I wanted to win it.
I knew Goldberg wasn't going to win because it's just his last match under this current contract. So I knew he wasn't winning.
It was a good match. It had some false finishes. I mean, and when I say it was a good match, I mean, it was a good Goldberg match, I should say. Hard hitting, false finishes, 6 minutes. They did what they needed to do. Roman Reigns choked out Goldberg and won.
Okay,
so that was the first 10 minutes of the show.
That was first. No, that was probably the first 15 minutes. No, you figure with the intro, with the pay-per-view starting, the intros and everything, because that match was like 6 minutes. So, yeah, that took about 15 minutes into the show.
Okay. My bad.
The recap, how we got there, all that good stuff. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Now, the second match of the night, which is technically third, but the second match of the pay-per-view was the Women's Elimination Chamber.
Ooh.
Ah.
Okay. Now, I saw a little clip of this one. And I ain't going to lie. I'm kind of happy, but I'm disappointed at the same time. But go ahead.
That's
kind of
how I was. That's kind of how I was about it.
Uh-huh.
Some of the stuff with Nikki A's, I mean, you knew she was going to, get taken out with Rhea Ripley. The match started, I believe, with Nikki and Liv Morgan. I was really kind of hoping they kind of revisit Alexa Bliss and Nikki, especially since both characters are in a different spot right now. They had a history, but no, they missed that.
Mm-hmm.
No, it went down to Bianca Belair and Alexa Bliss were the final two. The face Becky Lynch.
As far as I got for that.
They bring Bliss back to lose to Bianca Belair the rematch at Rematch of Mania. Personally, I would rather see Alexa Bliss win and kind of go in a different direction with the women's title and kind of see something fresh. But instead, we're going to get Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair again.
Oh.
Yeah.
So Bianca
won. Yeah, I was hoping
it.
Bliss. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping Bliss
okay.
would win.
Okay. Oh, thank
but
God.
But I knew she wasn't. I knew she wasn't going to win.
I was afraid once you said Alexa Bliss because I thought I saw, but then I was thinking like, no, maybe I just looked wrong. But I was afraid Alexa Bliss was going to get in there. That was just going to give it to her.
No, I would have rather for them to do that. I mean, Bianca and Becky,
yeah.
been there, done that.
Right.
Like all these matches at WrestleMania.
No, they didn't do that. They didn't do that. 30-something seconds.
I mean, but it's still been there, done that. And then Bianca had rematches, too. Like, they've been there, done that.
Right.
Like, they've been there, done that.
Right.
No, guys, you had to lose it 37 seconds, and then the next night on SmackDown, she comes skipping her ass to the ring with a smile on her face after she got screwed over. No, this feud been there, done that.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Since they're going to do Becky versus Bianca again, I think what they're doing is they're trying to retroactively deal with the criticism of Becky's return. People were extraordinarily pissed off that Bianca got jobbed the way that she did when Becky came back. So now at WrestleMania,
yep,
they're going to basically try to reverse the process so that they can counter the criticism. So Bianca is going to go in as a face against Becky. They're going to have a 8 to 10 minute match in order to make up for the 30-second fiasco they had to start with, and they're going to put Bianca over. That's
Bianca
my interpretation.
Over. If they put Bianca over, fine, but this is WWE booking, and I think that they're going to basically go ahead and give them a longer match just for Becky to go over her again, and in which case,
yep,
it's just a waste of time.
Yep. I agree 100%, because the thing is, if you look at Bianca's path right now, they got it going good. And yeah, it's because they're trying to shut everybody up because of what they did then. That was wrong what they did to Bianca Belair. They should have never, ever, ever did something like that again after they had the experience with Kofi. They should have learned from Kofi not to do that. And they did it to Bianca. So now they're going to set up, but I just don't see them giving Bianca the belt, because the big thing is they're going to punish Charlotte, so Charlotte's going to lose against Ronda Rousey. That's just a given.
They're
punishing her in the long run. And then not only is she going to do that, that's when she's going to come and try to combine the belts. And that's probably going to happen in SummerSlam, where it's going to be Becky Lynch versus Ronda Rousey. And
that's
they're going to try to combine the belts. Just like I
said
earlier about the men's belts. You know, men's belts at WrestleMania, SummerSlam is going to be the women's belt. It is a given. They're going to make Ronda Rousey the ultimate champion until she leaves next year when her contract's up.
Yep.
The only good thing I can see coming out of this, though, and I'm hoping they do this, I'm really hoping they do this, but I just don't see it happening. You know who could benefit from all this if Ronda Rousey was champion for that long and then, you know, somebody would have to take the title from her and it would not be the same person?
Ripley or Baszler.
There you go. Shayna Baszler.
Yeah.
I could see Shayna Baszler, after they combine the titles, Shayna Baszler, because both of their MMA backgrounds, they both get down, and I would love to see that. I would love to see that.
How realistic is that with the way that they're using or actually not using Baszler right now, though?
But see, that could be where they're trying to keep her quiet until it's time for her to make her advance. Just like Jim Cornette says, how can I miss you when you're not gone?
I thought a little
something added in there to really get that over, though, but they would never do it, though, but it'd be brilliant. When you do bring her back with Paul Heyman.
I was just getting ready to say that.
Because Shayna Baszler need a mouthpiece.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, she does. But, yeah,
her
I would love for her to come back
MMA
with Paul Heyman.
Brock Lesnar's MMA background, I mean, kind of fits in with Paul Heyman's background,
yep,
as far as, like,
exactly,
getting MMA people over.
But this is the problem. He's with the tribal chief right now.
I mean, yeah, that is
I can see it if he was still managing Lesnar, but he's with the tribal chief. I just,
yeah,
you know.
But she needs a mouthpiece, though, regardless, though. Like, whether, no matter who it is, she needs a mouthpiece.
I wish they would come up with a woman that could talk as good as a Heyman.
Yeah.
I wish they had a woman that could do that. But I just don't see it. I don't see it. Becky couldn't do it.
No.
Becky
can talk.
I like it. Becky
can
talk.
I'm not even saying that because I hate her, though, but I can't stand her on doing promos. I can't stomach it.
Okay, check this out. I'm going to say this. And you know I can't stand Becky either, okay? But I will give her props in that SmackDown ring where she was going nuts. I'm sorry. That's making me feel bad for Seth Rollins because I think she's a little crazy. You can't act that crazy that darn good, and you ain't really crazy. All right? That was some stuff that I think she dug deep to where it was some dude that she was dating back when she was in high school, and she was nuts over him, and she still ain't over him.
You talk about the Raw this past Monday.
Oh, whatever it was.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That was scary.
I was out there live for that. Yeah, it was.
Well,
it was.
I could think of the perfect woman for Shayna Baszler. That would never happen. But in terms of presentation and mic skills, you know who would be the perfect woman for?
Who?
Is your girl, Tony. Your girl, AJ Lee.
Oh, yeah. I thought AJ Lee. No, I
perfect.
She popped in my head too, but you know how much I love my boo, so that's the only reason I just suggest her.
It would never happen.
You better not say any bad thing about my next ex-wife.
Well, you gonna get mad. Hold on, because let me say this, okay? I don't see her as a promo for somebody like Baszler. Baszler's a fighter. She's a more of a, you need like a ring announcer type, you know, thing like Heyman has. Heyman's like basically a damn ring announcer. You know what I'm saying? So you got to have that cadence when you have a sports guy like that. You know what I'm saying? The cadence that she needs, that AJ will be good with, what she doesn't need, she doesn't need a mouthpiece either, but if she did, it would be a character like Alexa Bliss.
You know,
if Alexa
how
Bliss
I can
herself
tell.
Couldn't
I
talk.
Where you're going with that?
You know what I'm saying?
Actually, where you're going with that, but here's the thing, though. Who's a better option? That's what I see female talkers right now.
No, you don't have, you don't, I mean, Mickie James.
You know how I can tell that the WWE women's division is in trouble? This conversation. Look at what we're talking about. We're talking about the UFC ladies, and we are talking about who would be the best mouthpiece to present them because they're not good at promos.
But it's the truth.
It is the truth. It's the absolute number, 100% truth, and that's why they're in trouble. I agree with you because
we're sitting here trying to come up with a solution for the garbage that they're doing, though. But I mean, I think we had, and we talked so much. I don't know if we had this conversation on a podcast or it was private. But the problem that WWE have right now is the fact that like you're using UFC to get your products over, but they're dumping on their product, though. Like, you're making it look like your wrestlers are inferior to UFC.
You will never have anyone agree with that argument more than me. Because I am tired, and this is one of the things I despise Vince McMahon for. And if I had a chance, I would like to smack him in his face for it. How the hell do you have somebody from another sport walk in and go over all these guys that have been through years and years of doing independence, doing small shows, working their way up, learning the craft, doing what's right? It's technically sound. And you want to go ahead and put this, oh, he comes
because
from the UFC. Who cares?
Because
who cares?
Vince McMahon has done that shit since the 80s. since Mr. T, since Lawrence Taylor. Yeah. Like, the reason why Roddy Piper legit hated T was that reason.
Yeah, exactly. And he refused to get pinned by him.
Mr. T, I don't know. I guess that's a soft spot for me because I look at him like he's one of those exceptions to where he could pass off. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't have an MMA background,
but look at it from my Piper standpoint, though. I've been doing this shit for like how many years, and you want me to put over the guy from the A-team?
See, I didn't agree with that decision, even though I would have loved, but I wouldn't agree. I couldn't agree with that decision. Yeah, you're right. I couldn't. Even though I could understand it happening more than what's been happening, I still couldn't see it. I still wouldn't agree with it being done.
Vince McMahon has always been obsessed. He's always been obsessed with athletics and with cosmetics and marketing. And that is... It worked for a long time.
But Rob, let me ask you a question. If he is in the sports and cosmetics and stuff, why in the hell didn't he buy the Jacksonville Jaguars and then he bought L'Oreal or some shit like that? You know, if you into it that much, those are two companies you make your money off of on that. Why are you doing
because
it to wrestlers? You know what I'm saying?
Because his I can answer that. Because he got literally grandfathered into that business. His grandfather was a promoter for Madison Square Garden, and so was his dad, and they promoted boxing and wrestling, and that's what he grew up knowing. But he, like a lot of promoters in the territory days, figured that his way of making money was the best way of making money. And for a long time, it was. It's just when the worm turned and the times changed and a better business model was needed, it didn't happen. Because by that time, the monopoly was on, and it just recently was ended. So for a long time, nobody could tell that the business model wasn't working anymore because it was the only business. So now that we've got alternatives again, the cracks in the original strategy from when Vince took over from National Expansion, all of those cracks are starting to show. And it's a sad thing to see because, I don't want WWE to go out of business. I want WWE to improve, but they're just not. And part of the reason is because they're relying on part-timers, they're relying on UFC retirees and celebrities. And that's the hill that I'm going to die on here, but let's keep going with Elimination Chamber. We'll get there.
Okay, cool. So the next match, Naomi and Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte and Sonya Deville in a tag team match where Ronda Rousey had her one hand tied behind her back.
Because
Ronda said that she could beat Sonya Deville with one hand tied behind her back, so they tied one hand behind her back, which is really.
I'm sorry. I hear Marcus already, but I'm sorry. That's an old school play right there. I love that one. I'm sorry. I do like that one.
But you don't see the match, though. But okay, that was more. I think Mark, and I could be wrong, but I think what you heard was him more on seeing the match more so than the stipulation. Am I right or wrong?
I don't want to spend any time on this match. This is going.
Are you serious?
I didn't like the match at all. Me myself, personally, I get the stipulation.
Oh, wow.
When they made the stipulation, I get the stipulation. I got it because it's like legitimately, what kind of chance does Charlotte and Sonya Deville have against Ronda and Naomi with Ronda being the way they book in Ronda, though. So I got the stipulation. I seriously did, though, but.
It didn't go over that well.
I honestly thought the match was sloppy, myself.
Oh, that could have been a match out this world.
I mean, it was a match that didn't do anything for anybody. I mean, I'm glad to see my future ex-wife, baby mama, didn't be on a stage like that, seeing how she wasn't used for 3 or 4 months at all. But, I mean, it was just, it did nothing for nobody. That's a match that should have been on Raw or SmackDown, not a pay-per-view. If they were going to do it,
I mean,
wow.
and Ronda Rousey made Sonya Deville submit with the armbar. The match had longer than Goldberg and Roman Reigns.
I mean, it was just a pointless match, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I'll say,
if you want to factor in like the whole women's wrestling Saudi Arabia, I mean, it was another female match. I mean, they had a women's elimination chamber, this match, and a women's title match later on, though. So, I mean, like the women were featured. But, yeah, that's all you would say.
I mean, I could see if they used it to let Naomi get back on Sonya, but that wasn't even it. So, I mean, I just don't understand the point of the match.
And maybe that's part of my thing, because it's kind of like Ronda didn't need to, like, make to win that match. I mean, that would have been a good opportunity for Naomi to get hold. I mean, they've been doing that back and forth with her and Sonya for like how many months? Like, they really need like Ronda to beat Sonya Deville to put her over. Like, the woman's over.
Right. Yeah. I agree.
And I think
100%.
Marcus is right. That match really didn't do anything for anybody except maybe Ronda. But that's from the just from the description, that match sounds painful.
Yeah,
it was.
You know how Rob? You know how creative I get in my head when I hear matches like that. And
yeah.
With the players that was involved in this match, I really thought, from hearing it, that they would have pulled that one off. I am very surprised
Hold that thought. We can revisit that.
Yeah. Okay.
Just hold that thought until we get to Tony gets to that part of the show.
All right. Next match.
All right. Let's go.
Next match. Drew McIntyre versus Madcap Moss.
Ooh.
Fall count anywhere. The only good thing about this match, in my opinion, the most standout part of this match was that bump that Moss took.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah,
I don't know, seeing Drew McIntyre, but honestly, before we get into that bump, seeing Drew McIntyre hit the Claiborne with the sword in his hand, which is, he had the sword in his
it
hand doing this match.
It looked silly.
Yeah.
It looked silly.
Dangerous.
Has anybody, and here's my thing, going back to what we talked about a few weeks ago. Why is Drew McIntyre even in a match with Madcap Moss? Has he fallen that much, really?
Okay, guys, on a pay-per-view. I need to visualize this in my head, okay? The guy did the Claymore on Moss while holding that damn broadsword.
Yeah. Exactly. It looked as silly as it sounded.
Was the sword pointed up?
No,
up. Oh, thank
God. That's a long-ass sword, too.
Honestly, when he had a sword in his hand, I'm like, this could go bad. Like, this could go real bad, real fast.
Yeah, somebody could have gotten killed if he was holding that damn thing wrong. Who in the hell authorized that? I love swords and I collect them. Okay, I even if you got a wall banger, which is a euphemism for a sword that's not sharpened on the sides, but you can still kill someone with a wall banger if you got it pointed in the wrong direction. This should be as easy as telling someone not to run with a pair of damn safety scissors. You don't do that in the ring. Who in the hell greenlit that? And how do I slap the hell out of them? Oh, my God. I'm sorry, but that
pointed up, anything go wrong and the sword, he knocks the sword out of his hand and it goes somewhere, it could end
yeah,
bad.
It goes into the audience and impales some poor idiot who paid $1,500 for a ringside ticket. That's not only a death, but a lawsuit and all kinds of idiotic things live on a live streaming show. Idiocy behind what I've just heard is inexcusable. Somebody needs to be kicked
yeah.
in the groin.
Yeah.
And for once, it's Johnny Knoxville.
Oh, you had the balls to say that. No,
oh, let's not mention his name. Because I saw something today that highly disturbed me. It's a rumor, but I don't know what's going to happen. But we can come back to that later, though, if you got time.
Let's get on to the next match. Okay, the next match, and I'm gonna be honest with you, was Becky Lynch versus Lita for the Raw Women's Championship.
That was the best match of the night, as far as I'm concerned.
Really?
To me, and that's not saying much, but
until Marcus said that, I really didn't look at it as the best match. But I can legit say that I can't tell you what match I would put above it, though. So by default,
yeah.
you're right. And that's
yeah,
kind of
exactly.
how the
really?
Pay-per-view was, the
right.
fact that was the match
right.
of the night.
All right. I mean, it wasn't a five-star match in itself, but compared to what was there, what was shown to us, yeah, if I had to grade the matches, that would be A, just based on what we saw.
Yeah.
I still give credit. Lita still has it. I don't know if she can do it night after night. I don't know, but for that particular one show, I thought she did well.
Oh, that's good to hear. That is so good
but
to
Becky
hear.
But Psycho Becky did win that match with her little, crazy ass.
What?
They gave him decent time too, though. That was like probably one of the longer matches of the night as well.
Right, because Tony, did that ending seem rushed to you?
Yeah,
the way it ended.
It seemed rushed, but I also think that it was kind of one of those things where like they were like it was a rushed ending in one of the longer matches, and I think it was kind of like, oh, we got to wrap this up and move on.
Yeah,
and when we move on, we move on. Oh God. Oh God! Talk about some fucking horse shit, fucking. Like,
I think I know what's good.
Money.
Yeah.
This is waste money. Next match: the Usos defending their SmackDown tag team titles versus the Viking Raiders.
Okay, this is what I want to come back to. But okay, go ahead, Tony. This is what I want to come back to.
You paid for these four men to fly to Saudi Arabia for the Usos to jump the Viking Raiders, and there's a no contest. They never even wrestled.
What?
No contest.
You pay these men to fly over to Saudi Arabia not to wrestle?
Now, first of all,
we've
all been watching wrestling for years. How many times have we seen the heel jumped the face team before the match, and the referee asked, can you continue? And, of course, the heels are like, of course, they continue. Okay, I've never seen a match not get started because they got jumped before the bell rung. That's one.
I have.
Okay, well, I haven't seen it much.
I haven't seen it when you fly these people halfway across the country.
Right, exactly.
Marcus is right. You have, yeah, go ahead.
And then I was gonna say, now they really could have did away with that bullshit with the Naomi and Charlotte match, or cut that in half and gave this match some time. That's why, because I'm gonna be honest, the first time I watched it live, I fell asleep on it, so I had to go back late at night and watch the replays.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed it was like 45 minutes left. And I'm like, no wonder they didn't do that match. They were running out of time, so they scrapped that match. It was like to me.
Mm-hmm.
The show was running long.
But if that's the reason, then that's lazy booking, because there's no reason why you should be losing time. Why you should run? There's no reason you should run out of time.
Okay, let me speak on that one, because I've seen it done. I've actually been guilty of it. How long? This is when I first started. I was at WCWO. Don Basher, bless his soul. He was alive and running stuff like usual. And he had me go against this guy named Baron Von Kane. This is where I get my submissions from, because of Baron Von Kane. He's a submission wrestler. So when we wrestled, I had to counter his stuff, and I loved it. It was fun. That's when I found my groove. We were supposed to have 6 to 8 minutes, all right? We had the crowd so into it. It was intense. The crowd was in it, like, ooh, and it on, because we switching these submissions on each other and stuff. When we got to the back, we got called to the office, and I was like, what the heck's going on? He's like, I don't know. And he was like, why the hell did you go 17 minutes? And I looked, and I was like, well, how the hell am I supposed to know what time we're supposed to go? And he said, I'm not talking to you, Bobby. This is just to show you what's going on. Baron, you're the veteran. What happened? And we lost time. We just lost time because the crowd was so into it. You know, you lose that space sometimes. You know,
but isn't that supposed to be a
ref crowd
to keep y'all on track?
I get that. I've never worked in the business, so I get where you're coming from on that, though. But this is seemed like, I think I would have felt better is if it was like, okay, there's a no contest. We're not going to have a match. The Viking Raiders are like, no, we're going to continue. And you do like a minute match. Like they just hit the move and end it.
Yeah, I like that too.
Things like that do happen, and matches that weren't supposed to go long do. And Bobby's right. You got to compensate for that in the card somewhere. But mm-hmm. usually, the 99 times out of 100, there has to be an underlying reason to book a match that way. Now, there may have been a mistake somewhere, and they just had no time for that match, and they had to scrap it. That's true. But there's a point where... You know, there's unless they are planning on having a rematch to make up for that somewhere down the road, they should have just not brought them out there at all.
Because you know, WWE has done that. They have a pay-per-view, and then a match they advertise just magically don't happen.
Right. Now, if they're building... Yeah. If they're building to something between the Usos and the Raiders later on, then I can forgive that, even though it still looks crappy. But if they just threw them out there because we had this match advertised, you've only got 30 seconds, so go out there and do something screwy and then come back, yeah, that would be ignorant. But I see where you're coming from.
I understand it completely. But you also got to think about this. What is the contract that they have with the Saudis? They might have it to where they have to have a certain amount of technically of matches. So he would have to put it on there to fulfill that contract.
But they didn't have a match though.
Technically, it is, though, because they made an appearance by contractual standards.
Okay, I see what you're saying, yeah.
It was a no-contest match, but it was still a match.
Okay, I get what you're saying. Okay.
You know, so that could be it, too.
Let's move on.
Sorry.
Okay, and I'm sorry, and I know I'll keep it clean, but let's move on to the hot garbage that we call the Male Elimination Chamber WWE Championship match. Now, before we talk about this match, I will admit, I'm not like a Brock Lesnar hater. I do like the guy when he show up. It's like it feels big time. I don't like him having a title. To me, Brock is just big without the title as he is with it. My problem with Brock is his schedule not being there.
Please do not tell me you have just let me know what I did not want to happen.
Oh, okay. Now let's get into this hot garbage that we call the Male Elimination Chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It kicked off with Austin Theory versus Austin Theory Seth Rollins started it off, which is good. I really thought Austin Theory was in here to be the sacrificial lamb, the first one eliminated. But Seth and Austin did pretty good. No, then we get to the next person in, which was Riddle. We get to the next person in, which was AJ. And then it's time for Bobby Lashley to go in. And then basically they set up a spot where Bobby Lashley got injured and had to be taken away. No, they broke the news that he had a concussion and had to be flown back to the States. With anybody with a half a brain realize you can't fly with a damn concussion. And I wish WWE creative what makes stuff realistic. Now, from what I heard later on, Bobby Lashley have a legit shoulder injury he suffered against Brock Lesnar, I think they would have been more sensitive to the truth and had, hey, this spot he injured his shoulder and had to be flown back. But no, they want to say he had a concussion, which is insulting to our intelligence.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then Brock Lesnar, when Bobby Lashley got carted off, breaks out the chamber because he doesn't want to wait till it's time for him to come out. And F5 Seth Rollins done. F5 Riddle done. F5 LJ Styles done. Final two, Brock Lesnar, Austin Theory, which he F5'd him off the top of the pod to the bottom of the thing. F5 Austin Theory done. He just basically ran right through the entire men's elimination chamber, making it look like these guys had no business in the ring with Brock Lesnar whatsoever.
Now, I read today that him busting out his pod was a shoot. That wasn't supposed to happen like that.
Yeah, because he was probably waiting.
Lesnar was supposed to be last. He was supposed to be the last one. No, Lashley was supposed to have gone before him in the order. And instead of waiting until his turn came up, he kicked out the glass or the plastic, whatever it was, on his pod. And he said that was a shoot.
Well, that was after they carted off Lashley. But, yeah, he was supposed to wait another 5 minutes, and then, yeah, he busted out early.
Right, yeah.
But he did. But Brock Lesnar, let's keep this thing, but I'm not going to say this like Tony Allen normally would. Brock Lesnar basically pulled out his penis and peed all over every single competitor in this match, just killing any credibility that Seth Rollins, Riddle, AJ Styles, Austin Theory had. And the sad part about it, Austin Theory didn't have as much credibility of the other ones, and he lasted the longest, though. I mean, Seth Riddle, AJ,
So you're basically saying Brock Lesnar, R. Kelly to everybody.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Okay. The veins in my brain are hurting right now. You're telling me that Brock Lesnar was allowed to do an incredible Hulk on everybody in the match, including breaking out of his damn pod.
Correct.
That's what you're telling me.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I have a theory. Brock Lesnar does not have an actual contract with the WWE. Vince McMahon pays him by the hour, and he charges $500,000 per hour of work given. And so Lesnar goes out there and he has the shortest match possible so that Vince McMahon only has to pay him $50,000 per match. I think that's the only logical explanation for this, other than Brock Lesnar has complete creative control over everything he does, and he does not, and he doesn't for the least moment of a match want to look bad or put anybody over. What you have just described to me is the biggest $100 pay-per-view buy to see Mike Tyson knock out somebody in 5 seconds that I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
I have to agree.
I'm actually surprised.
See, this is why I can't stand the man, and why I don't want to pay money to watch him. And I said this to Bobby last night, and I'm going to say it again, and this is the censored version. I would rather get an ungloved rectal exam from a random hobo than pay money to see WrestleMania this year.
And it's funny because I'm in Chicago with my buddy Cooper, and the one thing that I did mention is the fact that, like, in my opinion, like, Royal Rumble sets up WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the closer we – and as we move on, the Royal Rumble, Elimination Chamber, it's like re-WrestleMania, rematch WrestleMania. It's going to be hard garbage. It's like, we're going to see Brock and Roman again. We're going to see – Becky and Bianca again.
We're going to see Ronda and Charlotte
and Ronda again.
I'm only thing I'm hoping.
And
is
the build
I'm hoping,
up is and the build up is horseshit. You, they
I'm just hoping that they
bubble.
Book. Yeah, I'm just hoping they book AJ against Edge. That's all I'm hoping for.
I would love to see that.
That's the rumor. That's the rumor right now. So that would be like the only thing I would be looking forward to seeing.
AJ should not do that job. I mean, AJ should win that match. It's like, hey, you took the Undertaker off. Nice. Here you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that should definitely be AJ's right there.
Mm-hmm. Ungloved rectal exam. Like I said, I would feel less violated by that than I would by this card.
Johnny Knoxville. Johnny Knoxville is going to get an IC title match, and if a celebrity deserves title match, it's Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny, if
that's
you don't get a celebrity title match, it's going to be Bad Bunny.
Right. That's what I wanted to come back to, is that they're going to give Knoxville an Intercontinental title match, which once meant something, on WrestleMania.
It's a working man's title. At least it used to be.
But then you got guys like Cesaro and or we could go on and on, who aren't even going to be on the show unless they're in the Battle Royal, which probably won't be on
the show.
They'll
be in the Battle Royal.
Right, that's
gentlemen,
it.
Now,
gentlemen,
you know what's so strange? Rob, didn't we have this discussion yesterday when we went and got drinks?
Oh, we sure did. Yeah, we had this conversation. Now, gentlemen, permit me a little bit of leeway here because this is going to get ugly, all right? This is my hill. Everybody picks their hill to die on, and this is mine. Do you realize that this is the 35th anniversary of Savage versus Steamboat? And without the Intercontinental... Yeah, without the Intercontinental Championship, that match would have been as fantastic as it was, but the stakes would not have been any higher. And that's what That's what the Intercontinental title meant at one time. 35 years later, we are getting this pile of hot vomit. And Johnny Knoxville is getting an Intercontinental title match. That is an insult to every single man who ever held that belt. That's an insult to the legacy of everybody that's ever went to WrestleMania with that strap. And
it's an insult to the locker room.
It's an insult to the industry.
Exactly.
And I am telling you this right now. not one ass will be put in one seat because of this match, not at WrestleMania, and not for that movie either.
And that's, everybody, that's what I understand.
Yeah, they're doing this to promote that movie. And if they needed to have Sami Zayn versus Johnny Knoxville for a title, why not use that ugly piece of garbage 24/7 belt? Put that on Johnny Knoxville and have him defend that against his idiot friends, and then have somebody come in and like wrestle murder them all and then walk away with that ugly piece of crap. Why use the Intercontinental title?
Not only that, like, because you mentioned, like, 35 years ago, WrestleMania 3, which was, man, that match, I remember talking to my mom until that WrestleMania, I had it on tape. I watched that Steamboat Savage match so many times. But you could honestly book this like WrestleMania 3. Like, you could have Sami Zayn defend his title and Knoxville involved in it, but he involved, like, Alice Cooper, or celebrity back then. He's at ringside, like. No, he's sick of Sami Zayn, and he got a wrestler to, like, go after him, and he's at ringside with that wrestler.
Why not just have the title change they did anyway at WrestleMania with Zayn beating Nakamura for the belt? That would
have
been
Johnny
a tribute.
And ringside with Nakamura.
Oh,
you can have Booze and Nakamura out there. I mean, Booze and Johnny Knoxville out there with him if you want him in this thing so bad.
Whoever booked this, whoever greenlit this, this is worse than the sword.
Here's the bad part about it. We'll talk about how this was booked. Sami Zayn was let go supposedly over how Royal Rumble was booked. This pay per view was worse than that.
I'm going on record right now. If Johnny Knoxville walks out of WrestleMania with the Intercontinental title, if they David Arquette the IC belt, I am boycotting WWE programming until either Vince McMahon sells, retires, or fires every single writer on that creative team, including his daughter. If he's willing to fire Shane for being an idiot backstage, then he can damn well fire Stephanie for doing this kind of moronic booking, and the people that she's hired or the writer. Oh my God!
There's only one person Vince McMahon needs to fire to stop this idiotic booking. He needs to fire himself though, because nothing gets aired on WWE TV without his approval. So the person he needs to fire is not his daughter. He needs to fire himself. He needs to walk away.
If he thinks that this is cute and funny, and he's green lighting it because he thinks it's cute and funny, and that it's going to sell tickets to that damn movie, then I have to agree. Like I said, that's my hill to die on, and I'm not going to – I will never watch another second of WWE programming if they do that. No way in hell.
Is it the movie out already?
Movie's out already.
So you figure by the time WrestleMania come around, Jackass probably won't even be in theaters anymore.
It's not going to be, no.
No,
right.
Everybody, you will have seen it already.
Right.
That's why I don't even understand.
That's why I can't even understand why Knoxville is even on this show. I can't even what does WWE get out of this?
Because somebody thinks that Knoxville is a big deal and that he and his friends are funny and that this is going to get mainstream publicity. The problem with that is that when you put on celebrity matches this stupid, especially when it's a match for a revered title, it doesn't make anybody look good. It's bad publicity. Mainstream media is going to make fun of it, like they do every time they got a celebrity match. Johnny Knoxville is going to look like an idiot because he's not a trained wrestler, and they're going to have a terrible match. Sami Zayn is going to look like a moron because he's going to have to carry that worthless white meat sack of crap across the finish line. And WWE is going to look bad because they booked it in the first place.
Somebody needs to get their ass kicked over this. Yeah, only thing I disagree with what you said is I don't even think mainstream media is even going to cover it. I really don't.
I pray to God you're right.
I mean, he's not
Marcus.
I pray to God that you are right.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to get close to any kind of extra press because of this. I don't think Johnny Knoxville is even that relevant anymore, especially since the movie would have already been out for a while if it's still even in the theaters by that time in a month and a half.
And honestly, I'm not going to comment on the numbers they did. I didn't even hear about like this movie even doing good in the box office. I could be wrong, but I never heard like they did. I don't think they moved the needle.
I couldn't even tell you.
It's just when I saw it, I was like, "Oh God, please don't be true." I definitely don't wish bad things on people, but hopefully Knoxville break his arm, break his leg, can go something.
Well, I don't want it to go that far, but I would love for something to happen to where this match does not take place.
It's a disgrace. Anything.
Yeah, the fact that this was even booked is a disgrace to the entire industry, and it makes me want to puke. And I will, if he walks away with that belt, I'm done. My best friend in the world treats the WWE like it's the White Sox or the Bulls. He's on Team WWE and has been for life and won't watch anything else. But even he is ready to call it quits because of this WrestleMania card. And if they're losing him, they're in serious trouble. And if Knoxville walks away with that belt, they're losing me. I swear it.
Let me say this right quick. I get it. I 100% get it because that belt means a lot. And
it's a working man's title.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't understand why they would even do this. That's legacy.
Yeah.
And they messed up with legacy.
One of the biggest WrestleMania is WrestleMania 3, and that was because of that belt and that title match.
Yeah. It goes to the point of, I understand you're on sports entertainment, but you don't sit there and you take the principles and the legend out of wrestling to make it sports entertainment.
Bobby, this isn't even sports entertainment, because in order to have that, you have to have a sportsman in there, and it has to be entertaining. And this match is going to be neither one. It is going to be the drag marks in the underwear of the industry.
No, I agree. I agree 100%. But it's just
and
the fact
part about it, I think not that it would be better, but it would be a little bit better than this. I'd rather say it had been a U.S. title because the Intercontinental title is a WWE historical title. I can honestly see Vince doing that with the U.S. title because the U.S. title, in all honesty, is a WCW title.
Yeah, but that's a legendary belt within itself.
But I can see Vince dumping on that belt because it's a WCW thing.
Actually, even more of an NWA thing, even in WCW.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon is taking
a dump on a product of his company that has been historical before he was even the owner.
Mm-hmm.
And the scary part about it is, the logical part of me is like, there's no way Johnny Knoxville is going to win the IC title. And then I don't know how many WrestleManias ago it was, but we did see a 12-year-old win the tag team titles.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
that's
oh,
right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, goodness. Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Okay, wait a minute. What, could I ask a question on something? You brought that up. I want to ask you a question. I understand some people's gripe about that. All right. I just think it's a way you could do it. They just didn't do it right. I can see that happening.
Okay,
the tag match is more believable than an individual title because, like, you don't have to do much. But I really took that as, like, Vince McMahon has never been big on tag team wrestling, and I thought that was him taking the dump on it.
Yeah, that's true, too.
It may very well be, but it was a half-assed way of getting Braun Strowman over so that he could beat both Sheamus and Cesaro at the same time, and they didn't have to book a debut for somebody to be his partner and have a good match. And plus, they wanted to be nice to this kid who was the referee's son. I get that. Compared to this, the Knoxville match, that is somewhat forgivable. It's still bad. It still looks stupid to put that on WrestleMania, but what they're doing now is just garbage. There's just no good excuse for this.
No, what they did is the 12-year-old kid could have been a night after Raw. But, yeah, but they're both bad. And I do agree, though, the Johnny Nashville would be worse. Just pray to God that doesn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we all know what he is, though.
I'm not conceding that. No, I refuse to concede that. Like you said, like Jackass the movie came out weeks ago. By the time down the road, Jackass the movie's not even going to be in theaters. So, no, I'm not conceding that. Sami Zayn is going to beat him.
Marcus is right, though. There is the precedent here is that the celebrity goes over at WrestleMania every single time. The only exception I can think of is WrestleMania 2 in the Battle Royal with the football players. All the NFL guys got eliminated and Andre won. So in that case, the celebrities or the guest stars did not win. But other than that match, every celebrity star.
And I ain't gonna lie, I would have been mad if the Frizz won that. I would have been mad if the Frizz won that Battle Royal. I'm not even gonna lie. I would have been happy if the Frizz won.
Nobody now had the stroke that Andre did. Andre was like, hell no. Nah. I ain't letting no football player eliminate me. Hell no.
No.
Shit, they didn't even know if Andre was going to do the job to Hogan the following year. They didn't know
that. Now, I said nobody else could have done that but Andre dictated that.
Yeah. Yeah, but think about every celebrity match or every specialty match that you've seen at WrestleMania, the celebrity or the guest always goes over. LT went over, Floyd Mayweather went over.
Man. Over the fucking Big Show. Like,
Snooki went over. And it just, the signs are not good. And unless somebody grows a brain, like Bobby said.
Johnny Knoxville will win by DQ. He gets his win, he gets his WrestleMania moment, and he doesn't win a title.
I pray that they book it that way, yes. I hope and pray that they book that match to where he does not get that belt. Because if they do, I'm done. And so are millions of other people.
But I said it before, I say it again. If you're going to have Sami Zayn defend the title against a celebrity, it should have been Bad Bunny. That man put in work. That man hit a Canadian destroyer. Celebrity.
Yeah.
Hit the Canadian destroyer.
Yeah, but that's
with
all.
With
ease. Canadian destroyer.
With ease.
But that's the worker. That was Bad Bunny. That was the guy that.
He did it with ease.
The bad, Yeah, but then that's the other guy. With the Canadian story, the other guy doing the flip is what makes it work. Bad Bunny had
both.
Very little to
it's
do with that.
I don't think it's all the other guy, though. And
it's not.
I don't think it's all the other guy.
Especially in this case. Especially in this case. You know, I think Bad Bunny had very little to do with that, I think.
And Bad Bunny doesn't have a movie to promote. That's
yeah.
the difference. That's
yeah.
why.
And arguably, in a tag team match last year in WrestleMania, Bad Bunny was not the worst wrestler in a tag team match. As far
no,
as
he
performance
was.
Go.
No, he was not. He was killing it. That man was killing it. He popped me a couple of times. I was like, whoa, dude been hustling. Look at him.
But like what Robert
now,
said, though, which is a sad, but what Robert said, which is a sad part about it, though, because I think as a celebrity, he deserved a spot more than Johnny Knoxville. But yeah, but Bad Bunny is not promoting anything right now, so that's why they're not giving it to him.
I have always been an advocate for no celebrity matches in professional wrestling, and this is a shining example of why. It only worked once. And that was with Mr. T in the first WrestleMania. And ever since then,
mm-hmm.
they have been desperately trying to recreate that moment, but you can't recreate that moment because it was one damn moment. When you try to do that, you just
true.
Water it down to the point where it turns into steam. It's idiocy.
Well, once for everyone, yeah. like, I really enjoyed at WrestleMania, and it was because, I mean, it was a legit fight. Butterbean knocking out Bart Gunn.
Oh my goodness. Oh, my goodness. But see, but that wasn't even a wrestling. But see, that wasn't even a wrestling match.
No, that was a legit fight. Like, that was a legit fight.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason why that worked. Because it was a for real boxing match.
Mm-hmm. And the only reason it happened is because Vince Russo screwed everything up. The Brawl for All should have never been a thing.
Man, he is sorting out so many people's careers with that idea. Like, yeah, let's let our guys get killed in the ring. And the reward
right.
is you're going to get killed in WrestleMania.
Ruined Dr. Death. Ruined.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, they all thought that Dr. Death was going to win it all, and he got embarrassed.
Let's move on because this conversation is depressing me, and I'm sitting in my kitchen in front of alcohol, and I don't really need to start doing that on a Sunday night.
Oh, I'm on my third beer, though, so I'm about to get my fourth. But we do have 20 minutes to go on this show.
I wish I were there with you. I would help you finish that beer right now because of this conversation. Let's finish this out.
Yeah. Okay. Oh. So what would you give the Elimination Chamber, man?
F minus.
I was gonna say a D minus.
F minus.
I'd give it a lobotomy.
Mm.
Here's my thoughts on Elimination Chamber. Like you gave me a crappy Royal Rumble, which can't ruin a Royal Rumble, and they did. And he did worse. You gave me a Shane McMahon because it was bad, and he turned around and do worse. F minus. No, I give it an F you.
Wait a minute. Damn.
Yeah.
And I'm not.
Now, I'm
going to
say something.
Hater. I'm not. Like, I want them to do good.
I'm going to say something.
Raw on Monday.
I'm going to say something that's going to be kind of a little up there. But I want you to think about this. Do you think kind of tanked this one because they know that WrestleMania show is not going to be that good? So make this worse looking. So WrestleMania
look
good.
I don't know what the reason was behind tanking it, but they definitely tanked it. And I think that's what was kind of disappointing for me. Like the last Saudi show, I went into that show with low expectations because the Saudi shows normally suck. And that was a phenomenal show. So I really thought the WWE was at the point where, like, Vince McMahon legit makes more money in Saudi than he does WrestleMania.
Can we get a return on that investment? Like, with the money you're making, can you put on a good show over there?
Yeah.
That's why I also say I don't think he tanked it, because he wants to keep making that money. I mean, didn't they just – aren't they going to be doing more Saudi shows, like two or three, something like that, next year?
They're doing
year?
Two a year. Right now they're doing two a year. Like there's another one come up this year.
Yeah.
I don't know the date, but they're going to do another one this year.
Right. So that's why I would say, well, y'all, the money he's getting paid, if he wants to keep this thing going, I wouldn't think they would tank it.
Well, they are expanding the Saudi Arabia shows. I think they're going to do more than two next year. But Bobby, I don't think that they understand that they tanked it. I don't think they realize it, at least not the people that wrote this garbage. I don't think they realize that people, number one, hate it. Number two, that WrestleMania has the potential to be one of the worst of all time, if not the. And that's going to be hard to do because Manias 9 and 11 were absolutely horrible.
I don't know if it could be worse than 9.
Well, there's not a whole lot that can be worse than 9. But it sounds to me, it looks like they are trying. But Bobby, I don't think they realize that they tanked this show or that they're tanking the product. They think this is good. And that's why all the writers need to be fired, because they think that this is good.
Right. I agree.
Now, real quick, guys, because we don't have a lot of time left. Can we move on to AEW and Cody Rhodes?
Yes, yes. That is something I want to hit. Thank you. Huh. I don't know what to think with this.
I do.
I honestly am puzzled because...
I'm not.
I don't see how he could have got mad because he's not booking.
No, I don't. I don't either. And even if he got mad over booking, I don't see how you get mad over booking and then you leave. And if the rumor is true, you're going to a place where, like, it's going to be worse for you.
Exactly.
See, I don't think
he's
going there either. He's not going there either. Everybody's forgetting about one place
where
he's going to
go
where he's going to flourish. No, it's one place he's going to go where he's going to flourish.
What, New
Japan?
That
new one with Braun Strowman on in EC3, the creation narrative.
You know what? You know, I got until they get. I know they say TV is intimate, but until I see what network they're on, if there's one, I can't take this seriously.
Okay, number one, I think that this whole thing is a work, and that Cody and Brandy both are going to somehow end up back in AEW within the next 3 to 6 months. However, there's a wrinkle here that not everybody is seeing. Ring of Honor is supposed to reactivate in April.
Oh.
And I think what may be happening here is that Cody let his contract expire because he wants to promote like his father did, and he wants to do it on his own, and that he and maybe a couple of other people, maybe including Billy Corgan, because I think Cody's going to slum it in Atlanta for a month or two. Not that the NWA is bad. It's just that they could be bigger, and Billy Corgan is slow burning it too much. But my point is, I think that he and maybe Billy Corgan and somebody else went in and bought controlling interest in Ring of Honor and kept the Sinclair deal, and they're going to actually reopen the promotion with Cody booking it by himself.
Okay, but my thing is, I don't think it's a work, and here's why. And it's a business thing. When they started AEW, Cody Rhodes was one of the top three paid wrestlers in AEW. Cody Rhodes has not been a main eventer in AEW, but getting paid like one. With all the talent that they have picked up, do Tony Khan really need to pay Cody Rhodes as much money as he's paying him for what he's getting in return? Cody Rhodes essentially being mid-carder. I mean, like, if you had a if you had a wrestling promotion and you're paying him like a main eventer, but he's not in the main event picture like ever, is that a good return on your investment? Especially when you brought in all this talent that is really getting your product over more than him and his wife. Because he's one of the highest, he was one of the highest paid originals, and his wife was getting a decent amount of money as well. Money wise, I don't really think if Cody Rhodes left, I don't think Tony Khan wanted to keep him myself because of the money that them two were making.
Well, it's entirely possible that I'm 100% wrong on this, and you do have some legitimate points, Tony.
But I like your idea with him and Ring of Honor, though, because some big thing could happen there.
Whatever else happens to Cody and Brandy, I seriously doubt that they're going to go back to Vince. No matter what happens, unless and until they both walk out on Raw tomorrow night or next week or sometime before WrestleMania, I really don't believe that after everything that Cody has said and done, including helping destroy the monopoly finally, that either number one, he would go back to Vince and put the garbage bag back on and become Stardust deliberately, or that Vince McMahon would even want him back after all that he's said and done.
No, Vince McMahon wants him back. Here's the reason Vince would take him back. It'd be in Vince's head. Now, you got to think like Vince. You took all of my people. I'm taking him.
Right, because here's my take. Well, first of all, with Cody, it's Cody's fault he's not in the main event, because I'm pretty sure he books himself. And if he were to turn heel, really legit turn heel, he would be the top heel, no question about it right now, as much heat as he's getting. And Vince's sick mind, I could see him wanting Cody back just so he could job him out. He get the initial shock, oh, my God, Cody's back, all that kind of stuff. And within a month's time, he's doing jobs and looking like
he's
a damn idiot.
He's doing Stardust again.
Right.
But 6 months in, he's going to be Stardust again.
That's why I think it's going to happen. I think that's how it's going to happen.
Let me say this very quick. I just don't see it, and this is why. Cody left there for a reason, man, and they disrespected his dad too. Think about that. They kind of disrespected his dad. I don't see him going back because of that reason. If it was everything else, I'd say yeah, he might come back, whatever. But they literally disrespected his dad. His dad actually helped make them grow into what they are. And they kind of spit on him, you know?
How many people had to spit on and came back, though?
But think about Cody. He's a Rhodes, man. He's a Rhodes.
Yeah.
He's not one of these new dudes. He's a freaking Rhodes. You know how stubborn they are. If they don't want to fart and they got shit coming out their ass and they ate a whole bunch of White Castle, they ain't shitting. That's just how stubborn they are. I'm just being real. You know this. It's history.
Well, that's what happens when you eat at the White
Castle of Fear, run by Vader.
You're going to have that shit happen.
Yeah, but...
Okay.
No, but seriously, Creator Native is where you're going to go.
But see, here's the thing, though, and when you say, like, this person never go back, there's one name in professional wrestling I never, ever thought I would see go back to WWE. I'm not even going to say the little bitch-ass Hulk Hogan, because he's not even the person. And this is, like, being disrespectful towards the person's family and their father. Jeff Jarrett went back.
Okay, hold on. If you can't tell by looking at Jeff Jarrett, if you got enough zeros behind there, he'll do anything you say.
Exactly.
And that's why I think it's happening with Cody.
Exactly.
That's why Cody's going back.
Cody's making $3.5 million
a year. Cody ain't like that, man.
Cody more money than AEW was paying him. He'll go.
I don't think that's what's happening.
It's gonna cost Vince some money to get him.
Exactly.
If they get him more money than AEW is giving him, AEW's giving him $3.5 million a year. If Vince beats that number, he's going.
Well, guys, you do have a point, and money does talk.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly.
After everything that's happened, though, I'm just not going to believe that he is re-signed with Vince until the moment he walks back out. It's like the CM Punk thing. I did not legitimately believe until he actually showed up in the United Center that he was actually coming back. And I'm not going to buy any rumors about Cody going back to Vince until I actually see it with my own eyes. I'm hoping it doesn't happen because,
here's the reason I don't think it will happen. I don't think Vince is going to give him the money that's going to take to do it, though. I don't think Vince is going to pay him $4 or $5 million a year. I don't see him doing that.
Well, you know what? Put me down for the record. It's happening. Within the next 3 weeks, it's happening. Please save this recording. It's happening.
All right. We're going to hold you to that.
Like I said, please save this. Please save this recording. It's happening.
And here's the thing. You say within 3 weeks. Here's what I'm going to do.
Yep.
Granted, like it's my show, but I'm going to give you to the night after WrestleMania.
Okay.
Oh yeah, the famous Raw after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It'll probably happen there.
I'll give you six.
Because if he ain't that kind of money, the Raw after WrestleMania, it ain't happening.
Well, I'm just telling you, it's happening.
But honestly, I thought it was going to happen at Royal Rumble, and it's kind of weird because I was kind of teetering between, like, okay, him working without a contract, is it a work, is this true, or whatever the case may be. He didn't show up at the Rumble, so I'm like, okay, maybe it's a work, and AEW is paying, like, and then he was gone. I was like, wow, like, AEW is, like, pulling a Dixie Carter and had Cody going out there without a contract? Like, who does that?
Wow. I just don't see him going. I don't see him. I can't.
Well, I think I'm going to stand alone.
If he shows up there, I want to hear how much he's making, though, because I could see him going. I could see him going back. I just cannot see Vince giving him the money that it would take for him to do it.
If he goes back, it will discredit everything that he has said since All In.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't want to see that happen.
I want to say something real quick. I just thought of something. You know, I might have to change my mind on what I said. Because if you think about everything that he did when he was mentioning WWE, when he was making his symbols about WWE, it really wasn't about WWE. It was more about Triple H.
Yeah. Oh, shit,
Think about the throne being broken.
Yeah, that's
what I'm
saying. Yeah.
You know, so it was more like Triple H. Wait a minute. You might have a point. You might have a point here. Because Triple H ain't there.
I want you guys to think about
They made that perfectly clear. Like Shane got fired, but Triple H just got flat out like dismissing and disrespected what they did without being fired.
And then I want you guys to revisit history. You know who else talked about Triple H bad like a dog and came back? Road Dogg and Billy Gunn. They dogged Triple H on all his shoot interviews. They came back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was ancient.
They did a lot of stuff on Vince, though.
That's what I'm saying. Mark it down. I said it first. Mark it down. He's coming back.
All of these are valid points, and I can understand that. I, like I said, I won't believe it until I actually see it, but I really hope that it doesn't happen, because if it does, it's going to invalidate everything that Cody has said and done since since he went to New Japan, and that is going to be like one of the saddest possible things that he could do in his entire career. So as valid as you guys are making of a point, I'm really hoping that it does not happen.
I'm actually kind of curious at how it would go, though. Like, if they do actually, because honestly, like, I think it's going to cost a lot of money to get Cody back there. I mean, it's going to cost Vince $4 or $5 million a year. I can't see him giving him $4 or $5 million a year and making him Stardust again. Like, you got to bring him in as American Nightmare Cody Rhodes. Whether they do or not, I don't know. But that's a lot of
money.
It'll be worth it to spend. To basically put a dump on him and put him back in the, put the star back on his face. Like, you don't spend $5 million a year for Stardust.
It'll be worth it to Vince. If they spend that kind of money on Cody
just to bring him back to embarrass him, Vince should be let go. Because that's just fucking stupid. That's a waste of money.
You gotta remember, no matter what that contract says, a.k.a. the Good Brothers, it don't matter. When Vince is tired with him, he's going to release him. It might not even be a year.
Yeah.
Wow. Vince is petty!
No, Vince is very petty.
Vince going to get his little shits and giggles out of it. That's what I'm saying. Vince going to get his little shits and giggles out of, you know, taking away one of AEW's main guys and embarrassing Cody.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to let him go.
That's the problem, though. Shits and giggles don't make money.
No, it doesn't.
And they could make money by bringing Cody in, but if they just did it to humiliate him and to prove that and to use him as an example to prove that the whole revolution is wrong, then what was the point to begin with? And where does that leave us? Give more credibility to AEW
at that point.
Look what we're talking about, Vince. $4 or $5 million is nothing. It's nothing to Vince. He don't care.
Yeah, and that's the saddest part of all.
Brock
Lesnar probably made that last night or yesterday afternoon in the chamber in that abortion they call it an elimination chamber, which I'm going to say was like probably one of the worst elimination chambers ever seen in my life.
Have you ever noticed that the name of that event, Elimination Chamber itself, sounds like a toilet? Elimination Chamber. That sounds like something an astronaut takes a dump in. Oh, God.
But wait a minute. Hold on. You said the worst Elimination Chamber ever? Wow.
I can't think of one worse. Off the top of my head, I can't think of anything worse. And I like the chamber. Like, me and my buddy Cooper went to the chamber back in, what was that, 2010?
Leading up
to, like, Shawn Michaels and Triple H. I mean, Shawn Michaels and Taker 2. I have a love for chamber. Like, that was
The cage itself is magnificent. It's just what they do inside it is a waste.
But you could almost... Like, I said you can't mess up a Royal Rumble, and they did. You don't have to do a lot to have a good chamber match. Like, it don't take a lot of effort to be good because the spectacle of it all itself, that chamber. Like, to see that chamber live is incredible, to be thousands of honest with you. That structure is just like, wow.
Yeah, the cage itself is magnificent.
You don't.
Well, guys, we only got 60 seconds left.
You have to go out of your way to mess it up.
Oh, guys, we only got 60 seconds left.
All right.
Oh, wow. That's
man.
Cool. Okay.
That's
this
how we
deep.
Do. Like, that's
this
where ours go fast.
Yeah. But we have a couple of upgrades here on the FCW Network. Stay tuned because you might be shocked. So pay attention to the Facebook page, everything. If you're not part of the Facebook page, get on it. Make yourself a member. Guys, we are out of here. This is FCW Network signing off. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Marcus. Thank you, Rob. We're going to recover from last night. And ladies and gentlemen, rock and roll, and we will see you in the future.